Okay, today I want to do with you some short ideas. Some ideas, some little josh, little halacha, and this little minhag, all relating to the Seder. First idea I want to relate to you is something I saw from Rav Schlesinger, and that sefer I was showing you yesterday. An idea which I found made an impression upon me. He explains that on the night of the Seder, there are primarily two main mitzvahs, at least bizman hazeh, matzah and yayin. We have, of course, karpas, we have morar, but the structure of the Seder is arranged after the dalad koisos, the four cups of wine, and the matzah. And his question is, why is it that all of the matzah is done right in the middle? It's sandwiched between yayin, two. Sandwich, that's korech. I mean, bread, okay. I got it. I have slow reflexes. Someone asked me the Shabbos. I was seeing someone Shabbos to the Ulaini, a long parsha. And he made the Baal Korech, he made a few mistakes. And so the person said to me, I understand, you're looking in, so how come you don't speak up and correct? So I said, I noticed the mistakes. I even noticed that he made a mistake in Malel, right here, there, but I have slow reflexes. I don't have that ability. By the time I realize the mistake, he's already two words ahead. It's too late for me to chop, right? So, okay. You need sports critical to have good reflexes in sports. Now let's go back. We asked, the question of Schlesinger is, why is it that the mitzvah of matzah is in the center, is sandwiched between the two koisos in the beginning and the two koisos at the end? So he explains a very nice idea. He says, look at the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that when does a child have das? When does a child gain intellect? So the Gemara gives two shiurim. When a child begins to call his father Abba and Ima, when he refers to his father by parents by name, father and mother. And the Gemara also says when a child begins to say Daga. The Gemara's question really is in regard to when is a child's waist called waist, that one is mechuyev to separate, distance himself for the purpose of davening. When you daven, you're not allowed to be in the vicinity of tsoa, of waist. So when an infant produces waist, are you mechuyev to distance yourself from dirty diapers? The answer is no, not necessarily. An infant, you're not mechuyev to. You can daven in its vicinity. But when a child already gets to a certain degree of intelligence, then the waist is called waist, and you must distance yourself. When is that zman? The Gemara presents two different opinions. One opinion is when the child begins to say Abba. Abba or Ima, Ma, or Abba, whatever he calls his father, that's already called a zman where he's matured to the degree where the waist is significant. And the second shear is when the child begins to eat dagon. He begins to eat solids, not just the baby formula, but a solid which can be in halacha considered to be in the grain category. And Chazal tell us, I don't know exactly all the sources, but these two zmanim are identical. The time when a child begins to say father and begins to eat dagon, they're exactly the same moment, and that's the same period of time. Two different ways of defining a certain point in time. Okay, so what point is it? Whatever the age is, that the age is. So the Mepharsher of Schlesinger says that from this we see, this is not only his idea, this is a very popular idea, is that dagon, grain, when a child already eats grain, that already is a point in his life where he is intelligence, where he has intelligence. Because the Gemara is equating that moment in time of eating dagon with the moment in time where he says Abba and Ima, where he recognizes that he has a parent, that someone supports him, that there is a higher authority. There is another person in this world besides himself. A child is the most selfish, infant is the most selfish creature in this world. It's all about himself. He cries, everyone comes running. Food, everyone takes care of him. That's the essence of an infant. As a person matures, he comes to realize the path of life is this process of, as you grow older, it's not all about you, it's about someone else. When a child already begins to understand, you know, guess what? I have a father and a mother. There's another authority here in this world. They do things for me, but I recognize, hey, I'm not alone here. It's not all about me. That coincides at the moment when a child begins to eat grain, dagon. When he begins to eat, and therefore that those two zmanim are the same, and that's already a maturity of the child's waist, called waist, they have to be distant. So what do we see from this, Schlesinger says, is that eating bread, dagon, it's a little bit of a drush, but it's not only drush, there's depth to this, is that Not to say that Jewish is no depth to Chas HaShalom, but there's something physical to this, is that grain is associated, eating grain is associated with intellect, understanding. Now what else do we, now let's go to the other extreme, Yayin. What is drinking Yayin all about? Nichnas Yayin Yetzei Sod, Yayin is the cause of a person losing understanding. Chayiv Adam Leva Asumi Puraya Adilo Yada Ben Or Haman Lebarach Mordechai. When a person drinks Yayin, you lose it. The intellect dissipates, it's dulled. You don't know the difference between Or Haman Lebarach Mordechai. Shav Shlesinger says, fascinating idea. There are two types of emunah, and the two types of emunah are captured in the first statement Hashem said to Klal Yisrael. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mishraim. Period. Forget about Lo Yilcha. Let's just focus on the first Dibur. The first Dibur in the Aseres HaDibur, from the first of the Dibur's. I am your God, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, period. Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. There are two ways to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is Emuna Pshuta. Just believe for the sake of believing. Hashem, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You don't need to know why, you don't need to know how, you don't need to understand, you don't need to prove it. That's a fact. This is a fact that a person senses and is obligated to believe. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. There is no requirement to use your intellect to come to this understanding. This relates to Yayin. Yayin is an object which takes away a person's intellect, focuses solely on emuna. Then there is a concept called Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The reason why we serve Hashem, the reason why we are loyal to Him, and we perform do the mitzvos, is because Hashem did something for us. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He did something. That relates to machshava. That relates to intellect. We have to understand that we were slaves, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and He did something. He acquired us. He redeemed us. He did something for us. And therefore we are His servants, and we have an obligation to serve Him. That is a thought process. That requires a degree of intellect to relate. The reason why we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because we have no choice. He's the boss. He redeemed us. He took us out of Egypt. He gave us a better life. We are His servants. So we have here two different, and that relates to matzah. Because matzah is dagon, is grain, is understanding. What do we do? What is the mitzvah hayam of the Nine Min HaTorah and the Nine of the Seder? Rav Shlesinger explains it's matzah. Matzah is ushmartim es hamatzos. The whole purpose, the whole Yom Tov is capped. The only mitzvah deraisa is achilas matzah. Nothing else. Everything else is derabanan. Matzah is the ikar. What is matzah? Matzah captures the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Kilo hispik b'tzekam l'achmitz ad shehigla alei melech malchi amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'golam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. Matzah is dogon. Dogon is associated with intellect, with understanding that there is an Abba and there is an Ima. There's intellect, yeah?
The dog says that Kita is
for the mind.
Yeah.
It stimulates the mind, exactly. It is so the whole, so that means that the emuna, matzah is called by Chazal Michla Dim Hemnusa. Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein says, it was only a few days ago, he says that on Pesach you don't just have emuna, you eat emuna. Now that means, of course, besides the whole Seder, the whole idea of the Seder is to be mechazek emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We eat emuna. The matzah, what is matzah? Brain food, dogon, intellect, but it's an emuna that we understand. We can understand, we can be choyker, mer nevuchim. We can reason. It's emuna that comes with reasoning. We that's the entire thing of the Seder. We go and we analyze in great detail what exactly happened. There was an Avraham, there was a Yitzchak, there was a Yaakov, there was a Shvatim, we went to Mitzrayim, and this happened and that happened. There was Midikneg and Midik, there were Makos and Paro, was evil, and so on and so forth. It's an intellectual experience which proves that that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and we therefore have no choice but to have faith and to have faith in the Kadosh Baruch Hu through this intellectual experience. It's like a Mor Nevuchim. A Mor Nevuchim on steroids. That's what Ma'at is all about. But it's very dangerous. If you learn Mor Nevuchim and you start to reason too much, being that we're limited, we don't understand. There's a problem. Oh, there's a problem, so I'll only be a half believer. I'll only do this, I'll only do that. You know, contradictions. Very dangerous. It's a very high level, but it's dangerous. Therefore, you have to package, you have to sandwich this intellectual experience with a beginning and an end. Is no matter what we our conclusions, whether we succeed in fully gaining a full experience, the bottom line is emuna pshuta. Yayin, we start with two, we have four cups of wine. Dalid l'shoynos av gulav, yotzeis v'yitzad v'galti v'lokachti. What is yayin? Yayin is chayiv adam levasim b'p'ra'ad d'lo yoda. We believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because we understand, because of reason, because of intellect, it's because emuna pshuta. We have faith for the sake of having faith. But there's a higher level of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having faith because of reason. That's right, it's a very high, rich experience, but it's a dangerous experience. And that danger has to be protected with Yayin Lefanov, Yayin Acharov. Before we begin the intellectual experience, we have to make a statement. We have Emunah Pshuta no matter what. Then we enter into the Matzah. Let's go for that high level, the Emunah that's based upon reasoning, the entire Haggadah from beginning to end, to understand the whole process of Geula, what Hashem did for us. And then if Chas V'Shalom, when this experience is over, it's incomplete, there's something lacking, we make a statement with another two cups of Yayin, two more Lashonis of Geula. We may have questions, but it doesn't make one bit of a difference, because the bottom line is Emunah Pshuta. It's a very beautiful approach to understand the process of the Seder. There is Yayin, which is absence of Das. Dagon, the essence of Dagon Matzah is understanding. Dagon, we eat Emunah, understanding.
And thereby we internalize.
We internalize it by bringing it within ourselves, and then we conclude two different types of Emunah captured in the Pasuk, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Emunah Pshuta, period. Asher hoitzei sicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I did something for you. You owe me. That's reasoning. That's dogon. Those are the two different types of Emunah that we experience in the Seder. The second is a high level, but it's dangerous. And therefore, we package it with Emunah Pshuta Lefanov, Emunah Pshuta La'achav. Okay, that is one idea that I saw from Rav Shlansky. Let's go to another idea. Now let's go to some minhagim. A little halach, a little minhag. The minhag to wear a kittel. Okay? Minhag to wear a kittel by the Seder. I assume, does everyone here wear a kittel?
Not everyone.
Don't be. I don't mean to insult anyone who doesn't wear a kittel. Not everyone wears a kittel. Right. There are different. There are some even who are. I know someone who in his family they never wore a kittel. And he was always very disturbed. He used to participate at different family Sedarim, and they always would harass him. Literally, they would harass him. Why don't you wear a kittel? My father didn't wear a kittel. My grandfather didn't wear a kittel. No, he did not. This person did not. So remember, when he had his family, then as his children got married, more people came to the Seder, and he went to other Sedarim, and he was like under attack, and he used to complain to me. He used to really bitterly complain to me. Right, he found himself in the minority, but the people gave him a very hard time. Why didn't he wear a kittel? So he searched very hard to go into the source of the minhag. Whatever, I haven't seen him in years, but it has made an impression upon him. But it is brought down over and over that there is such a thing to wear a kittel. It's brought down in the Taz, and it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, and it's brought down all over. It's brought down everywhere. I think the Maril, the comes from the Maril. Maril says to wear a kittel, if I'm not mistaken.
So why would somebody object?
Because not everyone. Minhagim is selective. Minhagim are relatively modern. Yekis don't wear, and even those who wear, they only wear only Rosh Habayis, Chos on the first year. So where does it come from? So different term this. Simply, reason why we are the different interpretations is Lahaske Yom Hamisa, that being that we're going to drink four cups of wine and it's a night of entertainment. I don't to use that. It's a night of Simcha. You don't want to get carried away. And therefore, in order to keep everything in the proper perspective, you wear a kittel. It's the big day mason. A kittel is tachlich what?
It's like breaks, putting the brakes.
Right. You gotta. There's got to be a balance. The gilu b'ra'ada. What?
The reason that you wear it. In other words, normally most of us would wear a cheres.
Right.
Said by an ovel doesn't wear a kittel.
What about a
chassid? So I said it depends on what yeshiva would
pick. Right. Exactly. That's a nafkamina.
I understand not wearing it, but
it's a nafkamina. Correct. Lastly, Yom Misa, so he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. Although doesn't, because see, by him, it's already he already understands the Yom Misa. We're going to come to that. Excellent. But basic idea is a kittel, according to one approach, is it's a balance. It's to keep you in check. The gilu bira'ada. The gra strongly disagrees. The gra is fire against this. That's not why you wear the kittel, because chas v'shalom on the yom hakodesh of the night of the seder, it's a yom of simcha. You should have any zeich of misa. Misa is depressing. It's pure simcha. We're not worried about getting carried away with simcha shel hoilus. You have matzah and you have the dalakosos. You have an agoda. You're not going to get carried away hoilus. You don't have to have a kittel. It's why do we wear it for different other reasons? What are the other reasons? So one reason is because it resembles the kohen. When a kohen does avoida, a kohen wears big day love and sheish. He wears when the kohen gadol goes lefnai v'lefnim, he wears big day love, the four garments, and they're white. They're white. You are, in essence, doing avoda. When you come to the seder, you're acting as a kohen, and you're a kohen in make believe, and therefore you have to dress the part. That's one approach. So it's serious. It's not the mason. It's avoda. It's a karban pesach, karban chagiga. We have to bring the sanctity of the korbanos into the home, to the seder. Mamela, we dress like kohanim. Others say that white traditionally in Chazal is nothing to do with kohanim, mason. It's a color of simcha. How do we know that? One of the classic examples is that lo hayu yom tovim liyishol ketubav v'chamisha asar yom ha-kippur mitubav shebohem benos shol yotzen. They would go out into the vineyard and they would dress in white. This is where the kala comes from, the white garment of the kala in white. And the boys would watch the girls dance and pick a girl for himself, not based on yichus. He didn't know who the yichus were. Everyone was dressed the same, and he picked a girl. Why were they wearing white? They were dancing. White, you see from this chazal, white was a color then traditionally that was associated with simcha, with joy. Joy, yeah?
Belavush
malchus, techeles for chor. Chor is white. Chor is white. White. Techeles is blue. Chor is white. White in Chazal, the Gemara says, if a person wants to do an avera, so what should he do? He can't control the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah just got him. Got him. So what should he do? He should go far away and get dressed in black. Why black? Because black is sad. It will stimulate him. It'll stimulate him to do tshuva. So you see that the color of the clothing has an effect on your mood. It's a mood effect. Black stimulates you to humble yourself. White is a color which stimulates simcha. So it's nothing to do with Nesim. It's not tachrichin. It's not a koyein. It's nothing more than a white color of simcha. Okay, so this is another approach. Now, others say, another approach is that we finally have many psukim which Yecheskel, that the malachim are dressed in white. So on the night of the Seder, we're like malachim. We reach a madrega of angels, holy angels. We're forgiven for our sins, whatever. This is a more Kabbalistic approach, the Hasidic approach. We're trying to resemble the angels. We are in good company. The angels come to us. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to us. So we dress the part. When in Rome, you do like the Romans. You dress the part. You wear clothing of the angels, which is white. Very different approach. As you said, there's nafkamina halach. Let's say an ovel. Does an ovel wear a kittel? So there are different customs. A person in the first year of avelus. So some do, some do not. If you learn, it's because of big day mesim tachrichin to remind yom hamisa. An ovel doesn't need. An ovel is in a frame of mind. He doesn't need it. Adrab, too much avelus is no good. So an ovel should not wear. If it's big day simcha, Also, you can say that an Avil should not get too happy. It's during Avelis. If you learn like the Malachim, you're doing Avoda, then you do wear, because, so there are different approaches, but all has to start, how what an Avil does, all has to begin with, what is the Makor? You have four different reasons for the Kittel, all have to start, where does it start from? And then you can play with it, will that apply to an Avil? You can argue some examples, both ways, maybe yes, maybe not. Also, another issue, does a Chassan, the first Shana Rishayna, does a Chassan the first year wear a Kittel? So there are different customs, some do, some do not, many do not, because anyway, that also goes back to the original reason. This is because Bigday Mason, you don't want to scare the Chassan. The Chassan, the first thing, you don't want to scare him with Tachrichin. He has to be happy. If you want to say it's because of Simcha, he also doesn't need. He Meila, he has a wife. The wife is Misameachin. He doesn't need to put on love and to have Simcha. Maybe you'll say the other way around. Too much simcha.
I don't want him to be too happy.
Okay. Too much simcha. So there are different customs, but all the reasons, they all start with these four reasons. Now, one thing, one drush, one little bit of drush. Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in the entire Haggadah. So I saw here that this sefer blows me away. It's a marvelous sefer, Nisivei HaMinhagim. It's not new. It came out last year, Nisivei HaMinhagim, and it looks very. It's very deceiving. It looks like it's very innocent. Has like lightweight. And when you go through, he has some heavy duty stuff. He has a lot of beautiful things. So he has a very big chiddush. He quotes the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal tell us that he put up the first 8 days of the Chanukah San Mishkan, the Miluim, during the Miluim, the inauguration of the Mishkan, for 8 days. Moshe Rabbeinu, he went and he himself erected the Mishkan and took it apart. Some learn even twice a day, three times a day. Hard to understand these things. And by himself, he offered korbanos, he did avoda, he acted as if he was the koi, he was a melech, he was the kohen gadol. But Moshe, you're not a kohen gadol, you're a czar, you're a levi. A levi is not allowed to do avoda. Hayrasha. So Shai, okay, Hayrasha, you bring korbanos, he did miluim, he did different things, acting as the kohen gadol. What did Moshe Rabbeinu wear? A kohen wears... He wears four begodim. He wears the avnet, the mesneves, the tulsaim, the kesaynes, kohen gadol. He wears the. Did Moshe Rabbeinu? Did he wear the big day shemayna? Did he wear the big day the four garments? So, if you look very carefully at the Medrash, this is what he says. No, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was a high roasha, then Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to do the avoida. The Moshe was still considered a czar. It was a high roasha that a czar. A stranger, a czar, a non-Kohen, can do Avoida. A non-Kohen. And what did he wear? So the Gemara tells us exactly, a beged lavan, only wore one garment. A beged lavan, choluk, that was plain, without an imra, had no hem. There was no hem, and no one should put money, no one should accuse him that he hid money inside. He went into the mikdash, he took some money, he pocketed some money. But the Medrash says he wore one white, simple garment. In other words, what did Moshe Rabbeinu wear? A kittel, what we call a kittel. What is a kittel? Kittel is just, there's no, yeah, they have a garment for the kittel, is that a machin? I don't know. Just a simple garment, a white garment. So what do we learn from this? A czar, here's the aside, we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, from the Medrash, from the Gemara, it's a Gemara, it's a Medrash, Gesundheit, a czar that does avoida, b'derech choyro asha, the garment he wears is a beged lavan. So I told you, the second reason I told you was, why don't we wear a kittel? Because we're pretending to be kohanim. That's a sure reason, because if we're pretending to be kohanim, we need to have four garments. We should have a mak mitznefes, and we should have a gartel, and we should have white pants. It's a valid approach. We're kohanim. We want to be like. It says in the pasuk, "Atem tihiyu liman leches kohanim." We're all kohanim. We wear a kittel a little bit. We're officiating like a kohen. But no, this is a much deeper approach, and I want to say a little bit of a drush, a deeper approach. We're not kohanim. We're zorim. Even kohanim are zorim to a certain degree. There is no base time. We don't have all the things that we need. Everyone's a zor. But when a zor does avoida, we have a precedent. When Moshe Rabbeinu was a zor who did avoida, And when a zar does avoda, what do? You wear a beged lavan chaluk b'lo yimra. So we're all together, Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, we're all together. We're all imitating Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the kasha? Why isn't Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned in the Haggadah? You know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is standing right in front of you. The Rosh Habayis is acting as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when you're reenacting the Seder, what's going on over here? You're reenacting the Seder. The Kasha is so much better than any answer you're going to give me. The whole purpose is, Ilu, Haitzi Hashem in Mitzrayim. It's Ki'ilu. We're reenacting. You're reenacting, so is Moshe. If you want to reenact, you have to go to a play, okay? You got to have, the protagonist, the antagonist. You got to have the people. You got to have the real deal. Where's the cast of characters? Reenact. The matzah's on my shoulder. I'm walking around. Where's Moshe? The Rosh Habayis is Moshe. The Seder is a play. It's a play. The Rosh Habayis is the Tzar that's standing in for Moshe, and the Mela, he's wearing the exact same costume, the garment, that it says Beferish in the Gemara. Moshe was a Tzar, he wore Beged Lavan, B'lo Yimra, and he's performing the Seder, he's reenacting, we're now living Mitzrayim, we're now doing this. He conducts the Seder. What's not the pshat? Why isn't Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned? Moshe Rabbeinu is mamish here. He's alive and well. He is represented by the Rosh Habayis. And that's the essence of what the kittel is all about. So that's a little bit of a drush of why we wear a kittel for different reasons. Really five reasons. Yeah?
You also touched on something.
Simplicity. Humility.
Matzah is okay.
And a chanami. Okay. Same idea. It's similar to like the okay. It's like another approach, right? So yeah, this is a little bit of a drush. Four or five different reasons why we have the kit. Let's go to another idea, another minhag/halacha. Eating an egg. Someone mentioned this, Mr. Glad. You guys mentioned this to me yesterday. Eating an egg by the Seder. In dipping the egg in salt water, you dip it in the salt water, yeah? That you also do? The egg in salt water?
Yeah.
What's the matter with
it? So
what did you dip it in?
Didn't dip it.
To start the meal. First start the meal.
To dip it in salt water?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Everyone does it.
Got hot under the table here. Under attack. I know about eating eggs. I didn't know you have to do it in salt water. Okay, good. Something new this year to do.
98% of the Haggadahs
don't mention it. Dipping. Okay. Where does it come from eating an egg on the Seder as the first thing, as the first course in the meal? So what is it? So there's, so believe it or not, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. You don't have to go look into Haggadah. It's not in Shulchan Aruch. It's in the Ramah. In the Ramah, Orechayim Simin Tov Ayin Vav Siv Beis Noihagim B'Ktsas Mekomos Ktsas Mekomos Le'echol B'Seuda Beitzin Zecher La'Avelo. So the Ramah says he's going up against the Gorgroh. The Gra, and the Chai Adam is going to comment on this in a moment also. The Gra said, the Ramah says, Avelus. Now, what is the Avelus? The nearly Atam, because of the Avelus is the first night of the Atbash, the first night of Pesach will be the first night of Tisha B'Av. So when we come to the Seder, we realize that on this night there will be Tisha B'Av, there will be a Korban, and the deeper meaning is, there are many deeper meanings, one simple approach is that we left Egypt a little bit too early, 190 years too early. We were supposed to be 400 years, we only were reduced for 210, we left early. In other words, it wasn't a Mechila. We have a debt to pay. And the debt to pay will be the galus. We would just, if we would have we'd been there too long, another moment, we would have been too late. So we had no choice but to be taken out prematurely, and we have to repay our debt with interest, unfortunately. What does that mean? For 2,000 years of galus, and which would involve the Chorban Beis Hamidah. So it's a bittersweet night.
And the salt is bitter.
The salt is bitter. Is salt called bitter? You call it salt bitter? Okay, whatever it is.
Wait.
Yeah, we.
If you were a chef, you would know that salt makes things.
Okay, but eggs are a food of mourners. Why is that? So we learn from the Adoshim that we know. We learn from the Adoshim of Yaakov and Esav, the day when Avraham Avinu died. So Yaakov, so he was preparing lentils. Why was he preparing lentils? According to the Medrash, because he was feeding those mourners. Why are lentils mourners' food? It's round. Death is a Gilgul HaChizeh Ba'olam. It's part of the life cycle of life. There's birth, there's death, it's part of a cycle, and something which is perfectly round with no rough edges. And that is what lentils are, and that is what eggs. And therefore, typically eggs were served traditionally to mourners. Part of giving comfort to mourners, you have to realize, don't mourn too much. Don't focus on death. You have to mourn, there's mourning. But you have to realize, Kachi Dargoy Shel Oilon. Death is part of a life cycle, and there's mourning, but Adkan. Yeah, you can't mourn that much. So it's symbolic of avelos. It's something used to give comfort, and therefore we eat eggs to remind us that there's going to be an avelos on this very night of this week, coming up, Tisha B'Av, Mashiach should come by then, but there is something called Tisha B'Av. That is the similar reason why we eat eggs. Now obviously the Gra doesn't like this, as you can imagine, because the Gra, I don't know if the Gra actually says it, but a lot of the Mepharshim say that according to the Gra, who says, Chas v'sholim to be makir any zecher of avelos on the night of Tisha B'Av, on the night of Pesach, the Chas v'Sholom, that would be a reason, and there are other reasons. We'll get to it in a moment. Now, besides this reason, you should know that all the Mepharshim say that the reason why we have eggs is not because of Tisha B'Av, but because of Avelus. I'll show you an afkamin in a moment. Avelus that we don't have, the Beis Hamikdash, to bring the Karban Pesach. We have an obligation to bring the Karban Pesach. You don't bring Karban Pesach, it's a chiyuv kores. Serious business, and Bizman Hazeh, there is no Beis HaMikdash, we are in Golus, so we mourn. We come to the Seder in a state of mourning. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. It's not because that tonight, and this day of the week, in a couple of months, will be Tisha B'Av. It's just Avelus for the sake of Avelus. We're here tonight. And you know, unfortunately, this is not an ideal situation. We don't have the Seder the way we should. We should be in Eretz Yisrael bringing a Karban Pesach. And we don't. We're very sad. So we have that egg to remind us that we should be sad, that we don't have the basis, we should do something about it. Bring Mashiach. Or if we really are, it really affects you, calm down. Have comfort. It's a comfort food. It's a reminder. But it's nothing to do with Tisha B'Av. It has to do with mourning for the sake of mourning. L'may nafkamina, very simple nafkamina. Do you eat an egg the second night of the Seder? This is brought down all the Svarim. The second night, the Chutz L'Aretz, you have a Seder two nights, the second night. Do you eat eggs the first course on the second night? If it's because of mourning, for the sake of mourning, so you do it, sake of the Yoma. If it's because on this night, it's going to be Tisha B'Av. No. That was last night. So you don't do it. So there are different minhagim. So these are the two of minhagim which focus on mourning avelos. Now this is fast. I never knew. I never knew anything. But this really was a real shock to me. There's another reason why you eat avelos, is that it's the patira of the yard site. Do you know this? Whose yard site it is? It's not a Hasidic Rebbe. The first night. The first and only will be enough for the first night of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, that's what this brought down in the Medrash. Let me bring this brought down in the Pri Megadim, Simon Tov Ayin Vav. The Mishpitzoy Zov, Sifkad Gimel, maybe B'Shem Sefer Yad Yosef Parshas Toldos, Tehu Zecher Liavel Shel Avraham Avinu. When did he die? Two opinions. Sheniftar first Be'erev Pesach. It was Nifter Erev Pesach. Memela, we're getting up from Shiva, from Avraham Avinu, Klal Yisrael, the father of. How can you come to the Seder without the Makir? What?
Getting up from Shiva?
I mean, it cancels. If he died Erev Pesach, Yom Tov cancels the Shiva.
Right. Yom Tov
cancels
Shiva.
Yeah. Yom Tov cancels Shiva. We need comfort. If Avraham Avinu died Erev Pesach.
Okay.
So when is this?
You never probably kidney us then.
What? They didn't. I don't understand. I don't get it. The lentils. The lentils. Brilliant. Brilliant. Absolutely. Brilliant. Okay. Brilliant. Okay, that's odd. However, the Sefer Leket Yosher, page 85, it says, no, you got it wrong. He died Lel Pesach. He died the night of Pesach. Not Erev Pesach. He died, I remember in different traditions, he died the night of Pesach. So we say that's part of the Haggadah. Arami Oyved Ovi. Arami, so that, who is Ovi? So we learn, most of it, you tell you that's a Tziyakiv Avinu. Not so posh. Look at the Mepharshim. Someone learn Terech Laf, Terech Avi Avram. Ovi, someone to learn that it was Ovi is Avraham, is not Yaakov. There is Avraham gets great credit in the beginning. Mitchila Ovde Avoy Dezor Hoyavosenu. When you talk about Terach and you quote the pasuk of Yeshua, so there's a lot of discussion. That's where all the Haggadahs will draw from. What does this Mefarish have to say about Avraham and Terach? Avraham Avinu gets credit. He gets reference in the Haggadah in that section, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah, and it's the yard site of Avraham Avinu. Memela, we remind ourselves of his who we where we come from, and we eat eggs, we mourn over his petira. Okay, so the three different reasons that Nafkamina is you would not do it the second. Well, when you do it the second night, you would Sveka the Yoma, right? Sveka the Yoma. It's not a calendar date, so then you would do it the second night. So when we want to focus on Avelos, we have three different Mahalchim Avelos for the sake of Avelos. It's a reminder of Tisha B'Av, and you can look at the Beis Halevi, the whole Torah. And we have the Batira of Avraham Avinu. Others say nothing doing. What are you talking about? Chas Shom Avelos. It's not a date focus on Avelos. It has to do with the Chagiga. It's a Zecha for the Chagiga. Basically, you're supposed to, this is another Nafkamina, you're supposed to eat the egg on the Ka'ora. We have to have a carbon chagiga, two cooked foods. First you have the chagiga chagiga to fill up your stomach. You're not allowed to eat the carbon pesach on an empty stomach. You have to be partially satisfied. And that the carbon pesach is the dessert. It puts you over the top. So first you must eat, everyone in the family has to eat the basar zevach, carbon chagiga. We don't have a base in English, it's done as this. So what's the zecha for the chagiga? The egg. So you eat the egg just like you eat the matzah. You eat the matzah lezecher for the carbon pesach. The afikomen eating the matzah lezecher the carbon pesach. That's what the afikomen is. So you gotta first eat the egg lezecher for the chagiga. What's so terrible? Avelos. Who's talking about avelos? Chas shom avelos. It's chagiga, and that's why you eat the egg. And therefore, the finafikomen, you should be makbid if you can to take a shtickle egg from the ka'ara. Because the egg on the ka'ara is the chagiga. So if you stam avelos, so just go to the kitchen, take some eggs. But if it's because of the chagiga that's on the ka'ara, so you should take the egg off the ka'ara, and you should, and that would of course apply both nights equally, it doesn't make a difference. You might do it in a different order, but that's the fourth reason why you eat the egg the night of the Seder. Now, I'll just tell you another idea. The Chassam Sofer says something which is mind-boggling. How does he know this? I don't know. Skimadumali, he says something which is off the charts. This, the idea is not off the charts, but he connects to the egg. It's very interesting. There's a tradition. I don't know where this tradition is. This is a Tisha B'Av Torah. There is a tradition that we said over this Torah when you talk about the piyot b'tzeisi mirushalayim, b'tzeisi mimitzrayim, b'tzeisi mirushalayim. That very popular kina. You sing it. There's a niggun to sing it. Go high, go low. Fine. So the Chassam Sofer says that when was the Bris Bein Habesarim told to Amram Avinu? Yedoya teida ki geyezarech be'eretz lo elohem va'avodim ve'inu yosam Amram Yashana. The tradition is that the Bris Bein Habesarim took place the day of Pesach, the night of Pesach, the day of Pesach. That is the tradition. Okay. There's another tradition. There's another tradition. What?
Logic.
Why?
He's telling him exactly when...
On this day? On this very day of the calendar day? Yedoya teida ki geyer zaracha b'eretz inhabited for a long time. Geyer zaracha b'eretz alama. On this very calendar day? Okay, the tradition is Hashem told Amram Avinu on the night of Pesach, on Tezvav Nisan, he told him, I have bad news to tell you, there's going to be a Golus Mitzrayim. Okay, there's another tradition. Another tradition is that B'nai Yisrael, they entered the 70 souls. Yechaved, when was Yechaved's birthday? Yechaved was born Ben HaChemes. When was she born, Yechaved? She was born Pesach. So happy birthday, have a happy birthday cake for Yochanan tonight of Pesach. How do we know this? Because the tradition is they entered the Choymos of Yush of Mitzrayim. They went out to Golis on Pesach. That was the day that they traveled. That's how it came out. That's the tradition.
It fits right into the timeline.
Yocheved, okay. But where does it say this? It must be somewhere. We know this. We don't have any records. Okay, we have a tradition. This is the Chasam Sofer. So Chasam Sofer says an incredible Chiddush. He's referring to Tisha B'Av. He's saying, they were in Egypt for how many years? 210 years. He says that in Egypt for 210 years, they commemorated Tisha B'Av. But not on Tisha B'Av. On the 15th day of Nisan, it was Tisha B'Av. Could you imagine? Every single year, for 210 years, on the 15th day of Nisan, everyone took off their shoes, they took out their kinnis, they went to shul, they sat down on the floor, and they read in Mitzrayim, and they read the equivalent of Eicha. They had an Eicha, whatever they had.
Kinnis.
They turned off the lights, all the lights out, they took off the parochas, they ate eggs, he even says that. That's what he comes ties the eggs into. Come down. They ate. He says also, as the sudas mafsekes, like what we do, they sat on the floor, just like where does it come from? Kimidumali. How does he know? Ruach HaKodesh. They sat down on the floor. They took the egg. They wrapped it in the ash. They dipped it in the ash. Okay, maybe that's where dipping comes from. They dipped the egg in the ash. They sat down on the floor. Closed the lights. They said kinnis, and they had all these in the newspapers. Come to this kina, have this speaker, and come here, this speaker, like the newspapers today are full of programs. They even had a Chofetz Chaim video. Even had that. They had, what?
Did you talk?
What?
I know you talk about that.
Not there. Not there, but they had OU sponsored a webinar, YU had a webinar, it was the whole show, all 9 yards. Everything was there. When? On Pesach. Why? Because this was the beginning of their galus. This was the day that Hashem said, Yadoya teda, ki ger yezarecha. You're going to vavodim, the inu oisam, this is galus. They left Eretz Canaan. They were trapped. It got worse and worse. They mourned, they fasted. They fasted and they commemorated. And what happened? 210 years later, things got a little bit better. There were the Makos. All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rabbeisai, we're coming to a climax. Get ready. Go borrow the Kalim. Pack your bags. We're leaving. And you know when they left? They left on their Tisha B'Av. They left on Tes Vav Nisan. The day that they commemorated for 210 years as Nazelus was transformed, was Nishapech, it happened to fall out that the day that Pyro said, get out of here, I don't want to see you again, get out of here, was Tes Vav Nisan, the day that they were commemorating as Tisha B'Av for 210 years. It turned into a day of Simcha. Miyagoy l'simcha, me'eva l'yom tov. That's what happened. So Chasam Sofer says, Tisha B'Av is going to be exactly the same thing. We sit Tisha B'Av, for 2,000 years almost, 1,900 and change, 60-something, we're sitting Tisha B'Av, Avelus, the whole 9 yards, it's going to happen that the climax of Geula is going to come to a peak on Tisha B'Av, and it'll become Lo Yom Od Chai Hashem Hashahel Hashahel Yismei Shom Yerushalayim. It's going to turn into the biggest Yom Tif. So that's the significance. B'Tzei Simi Yerushalayim was on Tisha B'Av. Don't get so upset. B'Tzei Simi Mitzrayim. Just like B'Tzei Simi Mitzrayim originally was a day of Avelus of the Shibud Mitzrayim, so to B'Tzei Simi Yerushalayim Tisha B'Av will one day be Nishapech Miyogon La'anocha. So the Chasam Sofer says, unbelievable. Do you know why you eat eggs? You know why? It's not because of Avelus. It's not because of Tisha B'Av. It's not because of all the other reasons. It's not because of Avram Avinu. It's not because of the Chagiga. It's because this is what we used to do on this night for 210 years. It's like people will become. Someone was talking to a guy yesterday. I was talking to a guy yesterday. John, one of the people in the yeshiva, and he's telling. I don't know. He just always Shabbos with his stories. He loves hockey, and he became almost a professional hockey player. But he still has his first stick. He still has in his house a piece of garbage, his first hockey stick. Because this is where it all started. 210 years, what did we do? We didn't have a Seder. What was the ceremony for 210 years? You take the egg, you dip it in the ash, and you eat it. Rachmana litzlan, we're in Galus. New things got a lot better, but we remember our roots. So we're eating the egg on Tisha B'Av, because this is what we used to do. Oh, are we eating the egg on Pesach? Because this is exactly what we used to do on Tesvav, Nisan, for 210 years before the good news happened. And that should serve as an inspiration for us, all of the trouble that we have today, or one day be nishapech miyogoin to simcha. Okay, so that's a very powerful idea from the Chassam Sofer. What? So they really went back to their roots. They really went back to what happened by the time of Pesach. They had a right. We have a precedent that you can even fast on Pesach, because we used to fast on Pesach. It's a very good idea. We used to fast on Pesach. It was a new Hirosha. We're going back to what we used to do during the time of Shiva. Very interesting. Okay, now I want to tell you one other idea, one other very short idea. All of us, all human beings, are only born once. It's a very interesting concept. We're born once. Right, and then born again, all these terms. We're born once. We come into the world, there's conception, and then the fetus comes out into the world, mazel tov. But eggs, chickens, are born twice. Think about it. First, the egg is laid. That's a leida. That's just as a traumatic experience as a human being coming out of a mother's womb. There's a creature inside the womb, comes out. There's an egg inside the womb, whatever the avarium of the bird. She has to lay the egg. That itself is a traumatic experience. That's called a leida. What do you have? Are you saying mazel tov? No. This is a mazel tov. Oh, the mother has to sit on it for how many days? For a significant number of time. And then there's a second birth. And then it hatches. It's a double leida. So we eat eggs. Eggs, that's unique. All creatures that lay eggs, double process. Pesach night we eat eggs because Yitzias Mitzrayim is only part one. There's a part two that's yet to come. Pesach, what we do on Pesach, the geula of Yitzias Mitzrayim, knew that, okay, that was Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shlachno b'yatishlach. Am I the goyel acharoin? Hashem says, no, you're not. You're the goyel rishon. There's yet to be Eliyahu Hanavi, Melech HaMashiach, that will be the goyel acharon. Hashem said to Moshe, it's a two-step process. Play your part. You're part one. You'll bring them out of Mitzrayim, will be the Torah, you'll put them in the right frame of mind, they'll give them Kedusha, and then Achris Hayamim will be part two. There'll be the Geulo Hasid, Melech HaMashiach, Eliyahu Hanavi. It's a two-part process. The egg is a two-part process. It's a labor, it's a birth. It's a birth. So we have on the table the eggs. The egg, part one. Tonight is part one. But part two has yet to come. That's why we have eggs. That's the symbolic nature of eating the eggs. I can't leave you without telling you from the Chidah. The Chaya Adam. If it ends with the Chaya Adam, he says, what's with the eggs? What's with the eggs? This is no good. Because people, they eat, they like the egg so much, they eat the egg, they're full, and they have no room left in their stomach for the afikomen. So don't eat the eggs. Don't fill yourself up with eating too many eggs on the night of Pesach. So the Chidah, the Chayadam, was not a big fan of the eggs. But we do have here all of these other reasons, which explain all the tam flavor in drush, and why we eat eggs on the night of Pesach. Okay, have a wonderful day.